Oh yes, hello, good day, and welcome back. It's time to talk some more wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Sorry for the brief hiatus, but when it's just time to go to Vegas, it's time to go to Vegas, and it's time to go to Vegas and change your life. And we got to be there for that. You know what I'm saying? We got to show up at our, as our best self, but let nothing distract you from the fact that we are still the spot to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way. And dare I say, we do it the best, like better than everybody else. That's what she said. So let's get ready to talk, because this is the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm still the pick. Yep, your podcast intercontinental champion, Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure, well, nah, I am Frank the Tank. Or Bang the Tank. We'll get into this in a minute. Because as you see, I'm in my nothing was the same attire. We got the blue sky. Feeling a little bit like the boy. But make sure y'all rate, like, subscribe, download. So everywhere that you can listen or watch us, Barbershed Network is the home. You can follow us on Twitter at DFBCPOD. When you go check out our pods on the Barbershed Network, if you want to get to us quicker, just search out DFBCPOD. And man, feeling good after a nice week of bliss, as I would call it. We was in Vegas to celebrate a big day, a big weekend for Camp from the Port. And that's why I also found out that I am officially Frank the Tank from old school. except I don't have a Camaro and I don't bend down and you see the crack of my ass. Before, a couple of tidbits before we start. Shouts out to my Chicago Bears for winning the first game of the year. I knew they was going to lose on last Sunday, but I didn't care because I was high, during watching the game. It was some nigga that at the party that was a Houston Texans fan. He kept coming over there and talking about how the Texans was good and this and that and that thing. And I am so glad that I ate the cookie that was provided to me, because I was in a good enough mood to be like, yeah, man, all right, cool, bet. CJ Stroud. Hey, baby, how you doing? Like, this nigga got to go, but I'm high. You know, I ain't even worried about it.
You know, peanut butter cookies are magical. They can change the landscape of everything. Are.
Yes, they are. So I appreciate that. But my Bears go up against the Indianapolis Colts today, 12 o'clock start. So we ain't going to go too long because we've had busy weeks. Yeah. We ain't see a lot of wrestling, but we saw enough.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. And actually, I was supposed to be at the game today. So,
oh man,
oh, yeah,
we can wrap this up in 45.
No, I spent a lot of money, Camp. Oh. I spent a lot of money, Camp. Between last weekend and this week, I spent a lot of money. Yeah. So what it looked like me going to get a hotel room in Indianapolis to see the Bears, just to come back home.
Yeah, no, that's true. Know?
I could have probably finessed it, but nah, I'm straight. I just go get me some buffalo wings and chill out with family and watch the game. Frank the Tank shit. Ain't it? That's not like Frank the Tank shit. Frank the Tank shit. But that's enough about me, man. How was your week?
Man, my week was spectacular, man. I'm on my like third or fourth day sober. So
hey, congratulations.
That's cool. You know what I'm saying? I don't usually do that often, but you know, yeah, you gotta go hard. You know what I'm saying? I think we kicked it off Thursday night for sure. Friday when I was getting to the plane, you know, because I worked Thursday, so I was chilling. Friday before hopping on the plane, you know, everything was flowing. You know what I'm saying? Your favorite party favors and Let's It's a Hard Narcotic, was in full rotation. My beautiful wife and I, we got a chance to celebrate and commune with everybody that could make it. You know what I'm saying? Our parents came. My father-in-law said he had his Frankie Beverly on Friday. So he was chilling. You know what I'm saying? My mom, she's a fool. People that know her just know. And she had a travel buddy, which I was really thankful for, because, you know, she's in her 60s and traveling alone. She was really scared about doing it, but luckily, late calling, one of her homegirls was able to travel with her. They had a blast sharing stories about how they got scammed and when they were walking through the Venetian mall, and they doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So they had their own excursions and adventures that they had. And then, of course, man, Sunday, I know people may say it and it may sound cliche, but for me personally, after just my entire like just living experience, Sunday 9/15/24 was the greatest day and night of my life. And I was so glad that everybody that could come out and celebrate and congregate and just be with us. We love to provide environments where everybody can be themselves and do what they do. So just know, when my wife and I pull up, yeah, this is judgment-free zone. This is the safest place in America. You know what I'm saying? You can do and be whoever you want to be. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that a lot of people decided to do that. You know what I'm saying? And for those that were just reacclimated, we'll see you next time. Because we're not done here. And I got some TMI stuff. But hey, this is the wrestling podcast. So I'll just move it along. But man, after that, I had to come down and finally get back to work by Wednesday. But still on an emotional high, still seeing all the posts and the reactions and what have you. So, man, hey, look, man, I'm blessed. I'm fortunate, having a really great time. But now it's back to business. It's time to now take life to a different level, because now we got new goals, now that we got one out the way.
That's what I'm talking about. Well,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and start talking about the wrestling that we did see.
Yeah.
And speaking of the wrestling that we did see, we talked about this before, what, Bash at Berlin? Oh, shit. God damn. Wait a minute. What? Hold on. This is some shit that always happened during the pod. Hold on. Yeah. Let me make sure that I ain't tripping, because let me see. Hold on.
No problem.
Make sure I ain't tripping. Yeah, I'm about to say, didn't dude been die?
So
I ain't gonna say nothing, because I'm like, man, dude been died. Hey, I ain't about to get me today. Right. Try to see him, man. This goddamn nigga. I left you saying, hey, yo, Tito Jackson died. Y'all play some Jacksons.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy, but let's go ahead and get started with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens at Bash in Berlin. We thought that a turn was going to happen. We thought a turn was going to take place. We thought when that took place, either a title change was going to happen or on the road to a bigger feud. Well, that did not happen. Mm-hmm. But on this Friday, they had a very cinematic way of showing a face down between a face. Off, excuse me, not face down. Pause. That is crazy.
Yeah,
God, that is crazy. God damn it. Hey, they had a very cinematic way of having a face off between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes at Georgia Tech at the stadium where Roman Reigns played football at, in the town where Cody Rhodes called home, where his dad wrestled, where the Rhodes family is very popular at. So they did the face off at Georgia Tech. About seven SUVs was riding with Roman Reigns, with just one person coming out. That shit was wild. Like, hella presidential. It was like, okay, cool. And then you had Cody Rhodes just come up in the, I think, in the Maserati. You know, it's just like, yo, it's just me, you know, with the belt, my G.
Yeah, you know.
And then from there, they had their face off. But then after it was over, Kevin Owens was promptly at the screen watching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who might not remember during the storyline, part of the reason why Kevin Owens went ahead and took the match, because they was going to give the match to Roman Reigns, and he was like, oh, no, hell no. He don't deserve shit.
Right.
And now he's watching where the homie is tagging up with Roman Reigns to go up against the Bloodline.
Mm.
So, fuck all the shits and giggles. Let's get right to it.
Yeah.
When do you want to see Kevin Owens turn on Cody Rhodes?
I want to see it after the like double disqualification of Cody versus Roman. Like, I want to see it in that moment. To Aubrey's point, I don't know if it's going to be Saturday night's main event for sure, but I honestly do think that that is going to be the first main event, like probably like the biggest main event in Saturday night's main event history. But there's going to be some match. Roman Reigns is definitely going to be the main event of that. And whenever that match happens, I foresee some sort of, like almost like some sort of a mega powers type of miscommunication. But Kevin Owens ain't going to wait because he's been dying to take Cody out since he lost that match in Berlin. So that's what I foresee. I am a little sketchy on how they're going to have this play out, because I almost feel like there has to be like a fourth person in this for my thought to like totally take fruition, because already we know Roman and KO, that ain't never happening. So taking him out would be nothing. And I don't think at this point in time, Cody can play the over-sympathetic hero to be like, no, Roman's changed, like he did for Jey Uso. You can't get that dynamic out of it. So, you know, but maybe if they can, that's another excuse for Kevin Owens to crack him, because, hey, not for nothing, not this past Friday, but last Friday, the crowd turned on Cody a little bit when he said it was your WWE, it was your title. It's like,
I don't know, man.
But you know where you at?
Yeah. I don't know about that, fam. You calm that shit down. We happy to try to keep us back.
Right, exactly.
Man, so when I was doing the rundown, I had three different thoughts. The first thought was add bad blood. Mm-hmm. Like, be the person that cost Cody and Roman the match. And then that sets up a match at Survivor Series for the title between mm-hmm. those two. But then something was like Saturday night's main event. I think it's clear that Roman versus Cody, the rematch will happen at Saturday night's main event. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about how the main event and Saturday night's main event are two different things technically.
Yeah.
Because the biggest match, the setup was going to happen at WrestleMania, normally happens there. But then I was like, wait a minute. This match, this Saturday night's main event is happening in December. It's not happening in February, right?
Right.
And if you look at the main event happens in February to set up what's going to happen in April. So if I'm looking at the dates, maybe even having Cody versus Roman is too early. If they plan to have four of these events per year. So this would be the first one for 2024. But what would be 2025? So I'm not even sure that Cody versus Roman happens in December if you look at what has historically transpired when it comes to the main event and what happens at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I landed on this. War Games.
Okay.
Remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this, I had said that maybe Brock Lesnar is the person that would team up with Team Roman, so to speak, or Team Roman Cody. They probably argue about what the team name would be, like who's, as long as they ain't dudes with attitudes.
Right.
But he mentioned Jimmy and how they took Jimmy away. So I expect Jimmy to be on that team.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, if it's Roman, Cody, Jimmy Uso, if they do four, then Cody convinces Kevin Owens, or if it's five, they convince Randy Orton and Kevin Owens to join up against the Bloodline. Because I do believe that their brother, Tonga, and Tama's brother, I can't pronounce it, I think it's Herculeo, but he's supposed to come in as Tala Tonga. I believe he debuts at Bad Blood.
Okay.
Historically, you have, just think about Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this is a Kane-level debut, but I think this is a debut that says, oh, who is this tall-ass Samoan y'all got that's whooping Roman and Cody's ass? Like, now he's a part of the Bloodline too? Wow.
So it's going to be more like Giant Gonzalez level.
Yes. Like, ooh, okay. Who is this dude? Mm-hmm. So I have Tala Tonga debuting at Bad Blood to cost Cody and Roman the match, which then leads to It leads to War Games at the Survivor Series, where it would be Solo, Jacob, Guerrillas of Destiny, and Tala Tonga versus Roman, Cody, Jimmy, Roman, I mean, excuse me, Randy, and now you got to convince Kevin Owens. So if that's your teams, the Bloodline versus Roman, Cody, Randall Keith, Kevin Owens, and Jimmy Uso, I think the best place to do the turn is during War Games.
For sure. For sure. But say, hey, but see, even with that, my money's on Randy Orton turning at that point.
I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you said that. Because I believe that Kevin does it first. Kevin and Cody have a feud to end the year. And Roman is going to have to deal with The Rock at some time. I don't normally do it this early, but I am going to do it this early. Randy Orton will win at the 2025 Royal Rumble.
Okay.
I'm calling it now. And remember, he says that I am never going to choose you. I'm going to back you up.
Yeah.
Gunther will be the champ at that time.
For
sure. He ain't losing it. Do I rematch with Gunther or do I go after Cody? Cody, on the night that he announces, would get RKO'd. The crowd would be like, either like this, oh my God. Or my prediction is the crowd is going to blow the roof off.
Yeah.
When Randy Orton announces that his matchup at WrestleMania will be against Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. That's a great night one.
Yeah. So,
I mean, shoot, probably night two, though, depending on.
Well, if The Rock and Roman goes up against each other, that's night two.
Yeah, that's night two.
That's night two. Cody and Randall, y'all got night one, kill it. Yes. But if I'm looking at the timeline and how things go, that's what I would do. It will start off with Kevin Owens being really frustrated on how this is going, how the homie is teaming up against the Bloodline. But then after Tala Tonga comes through and crush Roman and Cody, then at War Games, you have this match. But historically, you've had some decent turns at War Games.
Yeah.
This would be a humongous turn when Kevin Owens gives him the middle finger and gives him the stunner inside of that cage and the Bloodline taking it home. Then from there, you have Kevin and Cody go back and forth with each other. Pause. But then Kevin Owens gets in the ear of Randall Keith. Randall Keith wins the Royal Rumble. And instead of choosing Gunther, he's choosing Cody, which leads to WrestleMania, where we would get the long-awaited match between the pupil and the teacher, so to speak.
Yeah,
Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes.
For sure. And definitely, I like Cody versus Randy at WrestleMania, because I think that's where it deserves to be. That's not we don't need a feud. We don't need a trilogy. In my estimation, I think we just need OG vet heel Randy Orton against, you know, media darling superhero American hero Cody Rhodes, and just to have him at this point a very formidable foe that really don't give a fuck at the moment, you know, even though I do like the aspect of Kevin Owens being built for that to close out the year. We just really need some real adversity for Cody Rhodes on this title reign, or else he can drop that belt at the Royal Rumble at this point. Like, yeah, and, you know what I'm saying?
And it's been some rumors that Cody will be dropping the title soon. Like, it's a couple of folks that have, you know, a couple of wrestling trades that have said, yo, that's the rumor. And I'll go as far as saying that I can see Kevin Owens as a transitional champion. I can see Kevin Owens playing the role of Kane a bit to Stone Cold. I don't think it's going to be just for 24 hours, but I can see Kevin Owens holding it for a month where Cody gets it back, or longer than that, and Cody gets it back at Royal Rumble. I can see that.
Yeah.
But once Kevin is done, well, once Cody is done with Kevin, the next logical feud is Cody versus Randy Orton towards WrestleMania. And I believe that the only way that you can make that happen, well, I won't say the only way, but the best way of making that happen is for Randy Orton to win the Royal Rumble. And do you go up against the dude who technically you're the reason why he's in this position in the first place? Yeah. And then y'all wrestled at Berlin in a great match where he choked you out, basically. Mm. Or do you go up against Cody Rhodes? I think those are two matches that people wouldn't mind seeing at WrestleMania. But we want to see Cody versus Randy more than we want to see Randy versus Gunther. I think that him winning the Royal Rumble is just logical at this point. The only other person that I could see winning the Royal Rumble and it mattering is John Cena, because John Cena is going to be in this I'm retiring tour. Yep. And then he picks Gunther instead of picking Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't want that either. To be honest, I don't want the Royal Rumble winner to face Gunther. I'm going to just make a blanket statement and say that. And the reason why I say that is because I think the work that Gunther's doing as far as just building up hype for his matches, or just that element of how he just like, hey, look, I'm better than everybody. And I don't, like, his angle doesn't work against the guy who's just kind of being gifted the opportunity. I'd rather him randomly come out and be like, hey, yo, you trash. Why you here? Like, you can't really wrestle. Like, I like that. Hey, I like the fact that, you know, that he came out there and let Bret Hart know who he was to him.
Yeah. Like,
it just hit to me versus somebody like, whether it's a Randy Orton, a Kevin Owens, a John Cena, even a Roman Reigns. I don't want somebody to win the Royal Rumble and then meet and then face Gunther. I kind of want to see either the element where like he handpicks who he faces, or somebody in the process becomes so strong that it's inevitable. It's got to be them.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see what goes on. But the fact that Kevin Owens is going to own the back half of the year, it's how he owns it. I just don't think there's no better way of him doing that and becoming a mega monster heel again.
Yeah.
Then turning on him on Cody at War Games. Not Bad Blood, not interrupting the match on a secondary pay-per-view. To me, the best way of doing it is to do it at War Games. Where's War Games going to be at? It's going to be in Canada.
Yeah. Hey, man, hey, and not for nothing. As we sit here and talk about this, I'm thinking, you know what? The last 3 to 4 fourth quarters have been ran by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Bingo. Random-ass question, as I was saying it. Do you think the WWE should just go ahead and change the name of Survivor Series to War Games?
No. And that's me just loving WCW too much to let that happen.
Only reason why I said that, because I said War Games so many times, but I just didn't say Survivor Series. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
And shouts out to the homie Ronnie checking in. Shouts out to St. Louis. Hey, what's the Nelly shit? Is they really suing Nelly or nah? Like, what's really going on with that? Should we have Nelly and them be in the match? Should we have Nelly and and who else? Like Nelly, what's my man name? Jaquan. Who else from St. Louis? Like Nelly, Jaquan, Chingy versus St. Lunatics at War Games.
Like, Ebony Eyes got to be in there. Well, yeah, you know. What's the young guy, Promethazine?
Yeah, like we just need
a freshman list from like 2 or 3 years ago. He from St. Louis, I think.
Yeah, we need Nelly and 3 people. Or 4 people to join up against the rest of the St. Lunatics.
Yeah, Sexy Red.
Yeah, Sexy Red has to be on one side, and Tiffany Fox has to be on another side.
Yeah.
See, y'all, now you ain't got no comment, Rodney. Let's move on. Shouts out to Rodney, said the Dangerous fans will side with KO over Cody, and I don't think he'll be a true heel. So, hey, man, look, I've said on this show, Cody Rhodes is dangerously close to Homelander's situation.
Mm-hmm.
I really think the next stage of Cody Rhodes is, hey, man, I'm really trying to do this for y'all, for the people. Mm-hmm. My way is the best way. That's what I think. I think that's what it is. I think his next step is that. And if we don't get that, I think that's a problem. We need Homelander Cody. In fact, do we like Cody Rhodes as a face better? Do we like Cody Rhodes as a heel better? I'll tell you right now, Cody Rhodes heel, he's second to none.
Yeah, man. You know what? All the characters or all the angles that I've liked from Cody were the heel ones. Not that, you know what? But the only one I'll give a pass, and see, I think this is where people got it confused, right? Because I don't think Indy Cody Rhodes is face Cody Rhodes.
No.
So I have dashing Cody Rhodes, legacy Cody Rhodes, Indy Cody Rhodes, and then face Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And I could be cool and say, hey, you know, you can put Indy Cody Rhodes over legacy Cody Rhodes, but dashing Cody Rhodes is still the best Cody Rhodes to me, even when he became Phantom of the Opera. Like, he's still the best one.
Yeah, I am with you. I think we are in the minority, and I don't believe we should be in the minority, that dashing Cody Rhodes, if done correctly and done long-term, would have been a world champion anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, I famously said on this show that Cody Rhodes was going to be a world champion until he married that black woman.
That's a fact. That is an archive.
That motherfucker. Check it out. Hey, Cody was released a little bit after that when you look at time. So, hey, that was one of the first Bang Beam Noah moments. But Ronnie, I think that Cody Rhodes is dangerously close to Hulk Hogan 1993 territory.
And
what I mean by that is, we get it. Whoa! And all of that stuff. I get it, and I totally understand it. But you've not put him in a feud where it's scary hours for him. Yeah. It's not. So since it's not been that, you have been feeding him wrestlers, although with names, that has not been in a feud where we could go and we could say, you know what, Cody might lose this one. Kevin Owens would probably be the first of that. So when the crowd know you're feeding people to him,
yeah,
this right here is like, ah, okay. That's why people look at that title reign, because when it comes to a face champion, you have to give him people that make shit scared.
Yeah.
For a heel, it's just him weaseling out of matches. They did a great job of that with Roman Reigns the last year and a half of his title reign.
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep feeding Cody monsters and monsters and monsters and monsters to legitimize it and make him our savior.
Yeah.
In this case, he becomes our and America's savior, because now he's looking like, look, I've been doing this for the greater good for y'all. Yeah. Y'all didn't like the bloodline. I came back. I took down the bloodline. Y'all need to be thanking me for that. Mm-hmm. All of these other bad people that's came through, y'all need to help me out with that. Like, I've been doing this for you all. I know better for you than you know yourselves. That's the next stage of Cody. I know what's best for you and what's best for business more than you do. Now, does that lead to a certain person going up against Cody and telling Cody, nah, fam, you don't know what the fans need. You don't know what the fans want. You don't know all of this. I know this because I've been doing that. And you know what? I'm going to take on you. I believe one of John Cena's last matches will be against Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the thing about it is, because Cody is Cody, Cody is going to be able to get over or put over people as a face or as a heel.
Yeah.
This is the great part about this, because there's going to be some people. There's going to be some people that look at the heel version of Cody Rhodes, that's Homelander Cody, and they're going to, it's going to have, you guessed it, Make America Great Again vibes.
Yeah.
It's going to have that.
Yeah.
So
it's, oh, it's you know, with the way technology and everything moves today, you said something really great. Like 93, Hulk Hogan, shoot, you could even throw in, what was that, like 05 to 06, John Cena, and now 2024, Cody Rhodes. It's like the ending of G.I. Joe, right? And the ending of G.I. Joe, like, you know, there's like a cat caught in a tree, or there's a kid that doesn't know something, and then here comes G.I. Joe, and then he has the answer, and everybody cheers. It's like, and knowing is half the battle. And then it's like, you know, G.I. Joe, like, oh, God, G.I. Joe. But eventually, we all hit 15, and fuck G.I. Joe. Like, yo, I wish Sergeant Slaughter would have killed them with the Cobras. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just becomes one of those things. So, right now, Cody Rhodes is in G.I. Joe mode, and just like you said, where they're just feeding him just anything for FaceTime and TV time. He's not really being treated with any adversity. Just like when Hogan, after he, you know, beat, you know, Andre and King Kong Bundy and everybody, then all of a sudden he interrupts to beat Yokozuna quick, but then he loses. And then, you know, he splits with Yokozuna, he splits with The Undertaker, then he goes to WCW, and then he's just facing anybody. It's just because it's like, oh, well, it's Hulk Hogan, it's G.I. Joe, and G.I. Joe is always good, so G.I. Joe's just gonna win. And that's what Cody is now, because like now he's fighting his friends, y'all. Like this, I mean, I know I hop on here a lot and say, don't nobody want to be a face and wear the monster heels, but like they're literally just making him fight his friends. That lets you know that this ain't really about Cody having a hell of a title reign. He's straddling that fence of being the fighting champion that's just here for all the good in the world. And we don't want to see that 8, 12 months and beyond.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, we used to be homies. We used to be aces. Or we are homies. We are aces. Or, hey, man, I'm going to see if you got it. Let's wrestle for my title. No, man. I don't want to put Bronson Reed in here too early. But the minute Bronson Reed destroyed Seth Rollins, I wouldn't have mind Bronson Reed getting the title shot.
Yeah.
Because it's scary.
Yeah.
There's a little trepidation there. I don't know about this one. He just whooped the shit out of Seth freaking Rollins. Mm-hmm. Or if Braun Strowman take the Undertaker's advice and stop wearing Daisy Dukes on Instagram, he could really be a monster again and scare the shit out. Look, at this point, I don't give a damn if it's Omos. Somebody has to make us believe that Cody Rhodes is in danger.
Yeah.
At this point right now, the best person is going to be Kevin Owens. When Kevin Owens finally snaps and be like, you have given all of these chances out and you out here being friends with people that was whooping your ass, allowing me to get my ass whooped. For those who y'all that think this is a new storyline too, I told y'all on this podcast, go look at Paul Orndorff.
Yeah.
Paul Orndorff, when he turned face after WrestleMania 2, he started following under Hulk Hogan. He would get his ass whooped and Hulk Hogan would be nowhere to be found. Like, yeah. I thought you was the homie. When you get your ass whooped, I'm there to protect you. Yeah. I'm sitting up here getting my ass whooped and you ain't nowhere to be found.
I was taking my vitamins, brother.
Yeah, I was taking my vitamins. I was praying. I was lifting weights, brother. My bad. You know, I was doing a commercial. And Paul Orndorff was like, fuck this. I'm going to Bobby the Brain Heenan. Who did that after that? Andre the Giant. Yeah. So when I tell y'all niggas Hulk Hogan's been a heel, Hulk Hogan been a heel since 1986, my nigga. Yo, if Paul Orndorff was alive right now, Paul Orndorff would be like, hey, yo, you on to something. Because I thought he was my homie. And I'd be getting my ass whooped. But he'd be out there with hoes and shit. So it is what it is on that one. But nah, this whole Kevin Owens thing is going to be very, very interesting how this plays out. When the heel turn happens, will Kevin Owens be successful? Now, there's reports that Kevin Owens' contract will be running up towards the end of 2024, sometime in early 2025. Reportedly, allegedly, the WWE has already reached out to him about renewing his contract. Kevin Owens has been talking about his future a little bit lately. If Kevin Owens were to be a free agent right now, AEW will pay the freight to get him over there. All right.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting how all of this plays out, even when it comes to this too. Where does Kevin Owens see himself? Do he see himself as one of the WWE pillars going forward, or does he see himself going over to kick it with the friends? Which will be interesting.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, not that I'm here to make decisions for any grown man or any white man, but hey, listen, pray for Adam Cole. Like, because this was literally, and I say pray for Adam Cole because that was the conversation, right? But 2 or 3 years ago now, they both were up, contracts were up. They were like, who's going to make the leap? Will they both go? And, you know, for all of those people that were like, yeah, in 5 years, AEW is going to be this and WWE is going to be that. They were like, yo, if they get Adam Cole and Kevin Owens, it's over. It's a wrap. And, man, pray for Adam Cole because he basically lost his whole life that he had when he was in NXT. He ain't got his girl no more. He ain't got his same career no more. Nobody's Adam Cole baying like that no more. It's like, it's bad. But yet, you know, and even though unsuccessful, Kevin Owens has at least been in some kind of main event picture seemingly for 3 years.
Yeah. That's depressing.
Yeah, man.
But we move on.
Yeah. Hey, first black champ, though.
There you go. We move on. So let's go back to the whole face-off thing with Roman Reigns. Let's go back to that whole thing with Roman Reigns and Cody. How did you like that? How did you like the cinematic face-off between those two and the promos between both of them?
Man, you know,
before you even go, I love that last line. You're in my way in life.
All right. You know what I'm saying? I hate you. You know, it's a catch 22, right? Because this is the TKO Endeavor angle. You know, like even when the UFC fights now, everything is kind of like a docu-series. It's kind of cinematic. I think as sports entertainment, as this product leans more into it, we're seeing the productions, like even the vignettes, like as a person that grew up watching your favorite wrestler on the green screen with their logo in like, you know, neon colors or, you know, just hyper, just sensitive lighting and sounds, probably like bad for people with seizures or something, or just like the wall, like the brick, kind of like rock wall. And they just, and they're yelling and screaming into the camera about what they're going to do. Now we've reached the part where like people are doing like scene 13 in the movie. And I can't say I dislike it, but at the same time, it's like, I wonder, does that put more pressure on the matches to be greater than some of what we've seen? And I say this for this reason, because now I equate all of the Judgment Day, Terra Twins, Rhea and Dom vignettes, and I compare it to this Cody Roman one, and off the rip, I was let down by those other ones, but this one kind of felt like, man, this felt like Fast and the Furious 12 or 13 or whatever one that they on. You know what I'm saying? Like it's almost like I expect car crashes and explosions now. You know, I don't know how I 100% feel, but I will say that these budgets for these vignettes and how they doing them with the drones and all that, it's like, wow, wrestling is changing right before our eyes. I just hope that the wrestling product increases with that production.
I ain't gonna lie, I like cinema, and I like this. Mm-hmm. But I'm also afraid that, yo, you put so much production value in this, the matches got to live up. But I don't want to see Solo talking to Jacob and being like, yo, in a cinematic way, this is what we got to do. Like, I don't want that. Like, that's why. That's the only reason to nitpick. That's the only reason why I didn't like it. It's almost like political and radio television, how if you do one, if you do something for one candidate, you got to do it for the other.
Yeah.
So now I feel like they got to do something with Solo and Jacob. And I don't want them to do that because of Solo, not because of Jacob. Like, because I'm tired of Jacob just doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I want Jacob to get in this bag. I want them to let him talk. But yeah, if y'all got to do that, like do the pull up with Solo, I mean with Roman and Cody, you got to do something. So I don't want to, like, I don't want to see Solo giving the Bloodline the pep talk. Like, I don't want to see Solo going to Tama Tonga and be like, yeah, and he got to stop doing that shit too. Like, he got to stop doing that shit too. I don't know if that was his idea to do, or if Triple H was like, do something to stand out. But that, yeah, like, no, this nigga sounds like an 80s cartoon character.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He sounds like an 80s heel cartoon character when he, yeah, like, nah, stop that shit.
Like Muttley? Like,
yeah, he sounds like, he dead ass sounds like a rat that just came.
Beavis Tonga.
There you go. Hilarious. He sounds like Beavis Tonga, fam. That too. He sound like a rat that just bust a nut. Like he just says, get there, like over there, like in the corner.
Oh, man.
And you know you fuck because you're gonna have rats in your wall.
Hey, absolutely no Cabacho in cinematic promo.
Yeah, I don't want Tonga Loa just sitting up there doing his best Bad News Brown impression, or like Diesel when they just hit their fist with the title around his neck. I don't want to see them.
Yeah, they've already had too many Def Jam Vendetta vignettes.
Yeah,
this summer anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to see Def Jam fight for WWE. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Tama Tonga and Tangaloa drive up in a Jeep Wrangler and Solo and Jacob get out the back and they start doing some Samoan chants and some Tongan chants. I don't want to see that, y'all. I'm just saying. That's the only reason why I'm nitpicking. That's the only reason, because it's like, yo, we got to give dudes with anytime somebody, let's say this too. Anytime I put tag teams together, I'm just going to call them dudes with attitudes until they give them a name. When they get face tag teams, I'm just going to do dudes with attitudes. I'm going to WCW it. I'm just going to do it. So since we got Roman and Cody dudes with attitudes, I'm just going to be like, look, y'all gave it to them, so we got to do something with the bloodline. I'm just like against it. No. And if The Rock was here, like if The Rock was a part of this and he was like basically giving them the things to do, then if The Rock was talking, going to doing that, then that's great. But what's Solo going to say to Jacob that's going to make me go, ooh. they're on the same page, right? Now Solo telling Cody like he don't like you, like that was hilarious. Like
that was funny.
He don't even like you. Y'all gonna tag? He don't like you though. So
he's like, what?
He don't like you. He don't like you either. That was hilarious. Just don't do the cinematic universe shit with Solo and Jacob because I'm gonna laugh. This is not. That's just going to be hilarious, but not hilarious at the same time. I'm going to die laughing at them trying to make this look serious. Because I died laughing when 7 Chevy Suburbans drove up and Roman got out the middle one. Like, who in Atlanta is going to assassinate you, Roman? Like, who has the sniper rifle? Because now you just went in the middle of the football field to say, hey, this is where I made my hay at.
You know what I'm
and Cody basically told him, like, fam, you was an out-of-state prospect, my G. Like, I lived here. I know what's over there. I know what's over there. I know where to get ribs over here. Like, I don't want to hear Solo and Jacob do something similar. I'm straight. Yeah. Like, nah.
Yeah, you know.
As long as we ain't got nobody going, yeah, I don't want that. Yeah, he was doing that to start his promo, and I was like, why are we even? Like, nah, fam. Man,
Triple Stop. X talking to do that, he's racist.
Yeah, man.
I ain't gonna lie. Hey, look, if Triple H told him to do that, he's racist. and I don't believe Triple H is racist. So I'm with you.
I hope Triple H wasn't like, we need something to stand out for your character. And, you know, Samoans and Tongans, they wear boots now. You can't take them off. So let's just do something like with our voice. Let's just make sure you look like a savage in some type of way and sound like it. I want you to do this like, yeah. I want you to do something like that menacing.
Man.
Yeah, that sounds racist as fuck.
Yeah, that's a class action suit, bro.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Every Samoan and Tongan that wrestled, any Pacific Islander who wrestled in the WWE. Let me ask you a question. See, let me veer off for a second. Because you kind of opened up Pandora's box.
Now, Ross onto something.
Tongan's got on boots. Because we've seen frivolous lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how bad would it sound like if that were to happen? Like, if Pacific Islanders or like Asians sued the WWE because of their depictions of these groups of people throughout the years? Like, could somebody, fun fact, we know that Yokozuna is Samoan, right?
Yeah.
But my cousin, shouts out to my cousin Otis. He has not watched wrestling in so long. When we told him that Yokozuna was not Japanese, he was pissed. Like, he felt like he felt like somebody sent him off sold him a bill of goods. Me and Vincent was like, yo, he's not Japanese. He's Samoan. he's like Roman Reigns' uncle. And he was like, who is Roman Reigns? I was like, yeah, you ain't watched wrestling in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he was like, but wait a minute, hold on. You said Yokozuna was what? And he's like, yeah, he's Samoan. He's like, get the fuck up out of here. Like, he was legit pissed. Like, man.
All right. Hey, listen. Hey, man. You don't want to wake up one day as an adult and realize your childhood been a lie, man. You know, like you got to slow burn that. You got to slow walk that dog and then reveal it. You just can't go. And then the last time I seen you, you was a Japanese sumo wrestling superstar and the world champ. And now, as an adult, I learned only half of that is true.
Yeah, like, I wonder.
You were the champ, and that was about it.
I wonder, for people who have not watched wrestling in so long, when somebody tells them about a character, like, wait a minute, hold on, y'all tripping. Like, it was funny because the Godfather also came up, and he was like, yo, I remember watching Papa Shango. And they was like, who, the Godfather? He's like, who the fuck is the Godfather? I was like, yo, you ain't watching. And then my homie Yinka was like, that's the one who used to bring the hoes, right? It's like, yeah.
He kept watching.
They're like, that's wild. For people who have not watched wrestling in years, hey, how does it feel when you find out your childhood was a lie?
Yeah, man.
Like, there's people that's probably watched wrestling for years that don't know Hulk Hogan was a racist, or found out to be a racist, or at least alleged, at least said some racist things.
Yeah.
But they went to go to like New Lenox when he was there at Jewel to go get a real American beer. You take that real American beer home and somebody be like, man, you went to go see Hulk Hogan, fam? Like, yeah, it's Hulk Hogan. Like, he got a beer. I'm probably not going to drink it, but I had him sell it. Yeah. Like, you know, he called his daughter's boyfriend a nigga, right? When? Not Hulk Hogan. not my Hulk Hogan.
hey, but if nothing else, by now though, now that we're in September of 2024, Hulk Hogan just took it too far. He threatened to slam a presidential candidate that's a woman. He's like, he's anyone a body slammer. and then called Donald Trump his hero.
Yeah.
He said, this is my hero. And I'm with the body slammer.
See? Ross just said it. Like, yo, my uncle lost it when he saw Paul Bear doing interviews. He thought the man was really ghoulish. Like, man, like, it's something to that. Like, there's a lot of...
We're
going to take it back to the Greg the Hammer Valentine shit that happened, right?
Oh, man, yes.
So when the Greg the Hammer Valentine shit happened, there was a lot of wrestling fans that was pissed at us saying that we don't know wrestling. And we know who Greg the Hammer Valentine is, but we were younger when Greg the Hammer Valentine was a job. Well, I won't say a jobber, but he wasn't who y'all saw who he was in 1979. But we know he was the shit in 1979.
Yeah.
We still probably would have been like, nah, but
because he was two steps above Dangerous Danny Davis.
There
so
you
fuck
go.
Y'all.
There you go. So but using that as an example, like, what if you watched wrestling from 1976 to 1981?
Oh,
and then you stop watching wrestling, and then the next time you see one of your favorites, Greg the Hammer Valentine, he's dyed his hair and he's tagging with the Honky Tonk Man. You're gonna think something is wrong,
right? Right.
You're like, gonna think, you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Wait, ain't that the hammer?
Yeah. Like, so you can't come down on us for this opinion because that's what we saw. Same time you was like, what the fuck they doing with Hammer? We was like, buddy ass lame. So, so that's my whole thing. Like, I'll give you the best example. I think this is the best example of this.
Mm.
You grew up watching Demolition.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stopped watching wrestling for a little bit. And then you start watching wrestling again when the Repo Man is out here.
Dang.
And then somebody tells you, hey, man, that's Axe or Smash.
That's right.
Demolition. That's Barry Dorso. No, the fuck that ain't. Yeah, that's the Repo Man. When did he? You're going to feel like somebody sold you a bill of
Dawn.
A bell of dust. Whatever.
Speaking to exactly that, my man Andrew in fifth grade blew my effing mind out the water when he told me that. We're in school. I don't know nothing from nothing. I'm just watching because I was like, why haven't I seen Demolition in a minute? That's what I'm thinking. And he was like, he said, Cam, he said, the Repo Man is Smash from Demolition. I said, no, he's not. What the fuck are you talking about? He's like, no, really. He said, my dad told me, look at his tattoo. Look at the tattoo on his arm. It's the same one. And if you listen to his voice, like he was like, that's why he's crouching down so he doesn't look as big as Smash. He was like, but that's Smash from Demolition. I said, man, I said, no, that fucking sucks. It's like the Repo Man. Like, no,
it just messes up your whole shit. Yeah. So again, you look at a wrestler at a certain time and you think this wrestler is a god. Then you find out that they have changed that person you thought was a god to a Tim. Which leads me to on Wednesday, the Vince McMahon documentary drops. Hey. How do you feel about seeing this documentary about Vince McMahon and now knowing what we know about all the alleged things that's happened in his life?
Man, this Vince McMahon doc, I think, you know what, unlike so many other wrestlers maybe, I think I'm just going to get some confirmation with a lot of revelation. Because I don't really consider Vince McMahon like a childhood like hero or admirer. Like, you know, Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? Like, I've never
Wasn't looking at Vince McMahon like we was looking at Hulk Hogan or Macho Man.
Right.
Nigga with the blue jacket.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. Exactly. He was doing the blue jacket. Like, I didn't even realize that he had the show until, like, we rewind back. And like he was doing the dancing and all that. And but you know, I used to hate Vince McMahon because he used to say stupid stuff when Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire were in the ring, like, oh yeah, get down with your bad self. And I hated that. I hated hearing that. So he was like, oh yeah, Queen Sapphire, get down with your bad self. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, but now. It kind of goes to show you how perverted he was, because he's probably saying this kind of stuff behind the scenes. So for me, I think I'm just going to get confirmation on why he was doing a lot of that.
That's what I want to see. I want to see if they show what went into some of the things that probably unfortunately made the WWF great.
Yeah.
In that time.
Yeah.
Because I still go back on Peacock and look at the old WWF content. Mm-hmm. And revisionist history is motherfucker, right? Especially when you're older. And when you see Tony Atlas become, what was his name?
Saba Simba. I was literally about to say that earlier, even in the last segment. But yes.
Yeah, when you see that a Japanese man wasn't Japanese, he was Samoan. Mm-hmm. And even other stuff, like Russian folks ain't even Russian.
Yeah.
To find out Nikita Koloff wasn't Russian was heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Now, we talk about something, like you talked about the whole Demolition thing. When I found out as a shorty that Nikolai Volkov wasn't Russian, that really defeated me for a little bit. I'm not even going to front. Because Nikita Koloff, even as a heel, was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. When he gave Sting the Russian sickle when he was trying to hit Lex Luger,
yeah,
and he busted up Sting and shit at Super Brawl or even at War Games.
Yeah.
When Lex Luger won the title, he was like, "Whoa, Lex Luger, I want to give you the title, and you're a great champion." And like that, when he did that to me, that is second to Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. That is second to that shit.
Yeah, right.
Because that shit was so unexpected, and it made me roll. But when I found out that this man wasn't Russian, I was like, "Yo, wait a minute, what are we doing here?"
Yeah. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah, Shannon. Yeah. Hey, listen, Nikita Koloff is a white male from Minnesota. Like, that's where he's from. I bought the biggest bike chain I could because of Nikita Koloff. And I wanted to clothesline somebody with it wrapped around my arm. I wanted to clothesline somebody with my bike chain because of Nikita Koloff. And I mean, I wasn't Russian either, so I guess it resonated. You know what I'm saying? Like, it worked. But yeah, no. Hey, listen, I want to know Bad News Brown and the Harlem Sewer Rat versus the Snake match. Why did that happen that way? I want to know why Slick was the person tapped to make the one-man gang, which was the white fat guy from Chicago. Now he's from the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, but he can't stop moving and gyrating. Like, I want to know, like, why? And why did he think that would be my favorite wrestler? Like, I don't know. Like, there's so many things that have to be explained. And I am, you know, even though what's so wild, you know, as we to rewind from Cody and Brandy, he did the interracial dating thing with Sapphire and Dusty Rose, kind of, but then he had, yo, the richer white man is gonna take the poor white man, bitch. Like, that was the storyline. Like, there's so much going on. I mean, obviously we're gonna get more insight on the steroid era, but you know what, honestly, if y'all haven't watched the documentaries on a lot of the people, because I think it was the Warlord that kind of like blew the lid off of everything. I think like that he was the only one I think that wouldn't keep it official, or maybe he was. It's somebody that should have kept it a buck but didn't, and or I'm sorry, sold everybody out but shouldn't have. And I think we're gonna learn a lot about that. I think we're gonna really learn how WrestleMania got started, because the WrestleMania story sounds glamorous from the WWE lens and perspective. It's like, oh, you know, he bet all that he had on this one event, and if he doesn't make it happen, then it's going to, the company's over, it's done. But no, who'd you screw over literally and figuratively to make this happen? I think we're going to find that out. How will I feel about it? I don't know.
Yeah, I really want to find out the dirt, or if they found out the dirt. This was supposed to almost be like a celebratory piece.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be celebrating this man, and it turns out that it went from that to, oh, this nigga's dirty.
Yeah, you just can't. You just can't. They probably need to Last Dance this, if we're being honest.
I mean, this is really supposed to be, you know, this came at a time, this was announced at a time where the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary, everybody wanted to get their Last Dance doc out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Tom Brady, they got one. Serena Williams, she just had one. Well, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots had one. So this is supposed to be Vince McMahon's Last Dance documentary. Now, this might fuck around and be his Last Dance. But yeah,
I'm fading out.
I want to see what went into the making of the E. What things that he had to do that was probably not the best way of going about things. It probably wasn't the nicest way. I want to know some of the things that had to be done in order for the WWF, now E, to become what they are. Yeah. Wrestling is a great business to watch on TV, but behind the scenes, it ain't the best business in the world, right? Yeah. It's nasty. So how nasty did you have to get when it comes to promoter versus promoter, region versus region, taking a wrestler and offering a wrestler a major contract to leave the territory system and come over to us. I mean, for example, we heard the story about how Vern Gagne wanted to break, or wanted the Iron Sheik to break Hulk Hogan's leg. Mm-hmm. Like, what other things that wrestlers had to go through in order to leave their system, leave that system to go to the WWE? And what did Vince McMahon do to make that happen? Mm-hmm. Especially in the 80s. And then when he almost went out of business outside of a hair Stone Cold, what saved it? I want to know that. I don't need to know about the rape and the sexual assault. I could go read the indictment for that. And I did. And that shit's nasty. I don't need a documentary to say he was a nasty man.
Right.
I want to know what went into the making of a billion-dollar empire and the things that he had to do in mm-hmm. order to make that happen. Now, if you hear or you get nasty shit because of mm-hmm. those things that happened in the early 80s to the steroid scandal and all of that, mm-hmm. that's great. If you get that within the storyline, that's cool. But I don't want this to be a documentary around the woman who's accusing them of all of those things and that take it over. But if you actually did pay a police chief to not send Jimmy Snuka to jail, I want to hear more of that.
Yeah. So now, I'm glad you said that. What are the odds that I think it would be season 6 of Dark Side of the Ring being one whole season of just Vince McMahon and the people that do not F with him?
Hey, that would be great because it gives you another lens to look through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of WWE employees that's going to be in there, but I guarantee you there's not going to be, like how you see red carpet events to premiere something. I don't think you're going to see no red carpet premiere of this Vince McMahon documentary.
Oh, now, no.
Ain't nobody going to show up. Like, ain't nobody in the WWE trying to be a part of this.
Right. And then some people do want to show up out of gratitude. Like John Cena would want to show up, but you know he can't.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Man, help me out, but I can't go to this shit.
Yeah, but you know, but I want this doc to hit, and I want to see what gets created after it. Like, somebody has to start with why Vern Gagne hates Vince McMahon so much. And then like it just has to trickle down from there, because that's his first nemesis, right? And then just chronologically, like, bring it down. Not that I am all about the demise of Vince McMahon, because, I mean, look, man, at the end of the day, look, I watch wrestling because of WWF. The WWE, yes, I end up watching WCW, and I end up watching ECW, and I tried to check out AEW and all this other stuff, but, and I'm too young to register the heyday or even be alive to see the heyday of NWA and AWA. But my wrestling world starts with the World Wrestling Federation. But I do think that no matter, I think this doc, to frame it like this, I don't think it's going to be overly positive or overly negative. I think it's going to be like, hey, look, here's the info. Do what you want with it. And I think because we're just out of that season where people are going to celebrate you in public, you know what I'm saying? I think you're going to get a lot of the people that are going to be like, hey, they're telling you half the story, or they're not really going all the way in, because nobody wants to be Taraji P. Henson out here right now. You know what I'm saying? Look, I was just like, me and Russell Cool, I just wanted to go out there. I didn't post a picture. He did. But like, it's too late. It looked like you support him at the wrong time. And nobody wants that. No, nobody wants to get Taraji'd out here right now.
Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting, even if they drop all of the episodes. Because I'm gonna binge watch that shit. If so, we could talk about it next week, or the next 2 weeks. But it's appointment viewing if you're a wrestling fan to watch this Vince McMahon documentary. And I hope we get new information, more of a behind the scenes about what made it work. And some of the things that he had to do in order to make this work. Mm-hmm. Because This is a billion-dollar industry, and this is not a billion-dollar industry without Vince McMahon. There's a lot of people out here that's paid because of him.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what
even,
else
even
had to go?
If you never worked for him, you are.
Yeah. Considering what we're seeing with Diddy, like what are some of the things that people had to go through when it comes to the Vince McMahon thing? All right, before we get out of here, the last thing that we didn't get to talk about last week, but it feels like the end of one of the longest, most accomplished tag teams of all time, the New Day. Mm-hmm. We have been seeing the slow disintegration of this tag team. Hell, since Karrion Kross started bringing it up. Mm-hmm. We had Odyssey Jones that was with them for a minute, but reportedly, allegedly, some things have been discovered. And they took him out for television. Mm-hmm. But this past week on Raw, they fought for the tag team championships. And Xavier Woods was not happy that they lost it. And basically like, yo, fam, you're not telling me shit. I'm tired of this, basically. Do you believe that they're really going to break up the New Day? And if so, what would you like to see from the duo?
See, this is interesting because a New Day breakup today, it don't hit the same as if it would have 3 years ago or even 2 years ago, I would say. Because I think they have won the title in the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. What I do like is that Big E's name got dropped in this. And Xavier Woods got pissed about it. Like, yo, so what you saying? Like, so we losers because he ain't here, right? I like that angle and element. So to be real, I don't believe the New Day is breaking up.
Mm.
I think Big E is coming back in some capacity. Now, it has been, I think it's just been totally put out in black and white. Big E is done as far as competing. But as we know, the world of wrestling, you can still be effective without necessarily being in a match. And what I want to see, I'll put it like this, what I want to see is I want to see them bickering and going back and forth, Xavier Woods and Kofi. And I want them to almost come to blows. Shoot, hey, I want them to come to blows. And then here comes Big E. And it's like, hey, okay, maybe the power of positivity shit ain't the wave right now. But we bros, we fam, this whack, let's regroup. Because if it ain't Kofi, Big E, and Xavier, it ain't the New Day to me. I don't care who they put in. I mean, hopefully whatever happened with Odyssey Jones ain't true. Or overly embellished, and his career and his life isn't necessarily over as far as wrestling is concerned. But I don't, in 2024, going into 2025, I don't want to see Xavier Woods versus Kofi Kingston. I just don't want to see it. Now, if they break up the New Day, then fine. Or if they all just regroup and resolve or just whatever. But I don't see a win for either one of them. Like, is there a real win in Kofi putting over Xavier Woods in 2024 going into 25? And we know for a fact that a former WWE champion, no matter how he got the belt, a former WWE champion does not need to go over on Xavier Woods. It just don't need to happen. So for me, they need to regroup and turn heel together, or we're going to get it together and leave it alone, and then that's just the end of the New Day. Put him in the Hall of Fame, and then we'll just get out of here. Because I don't see an in-ring situation in today's landscape that makes sense, especially not on Raw, for them to break up.
So I agree with you. I I'm going to use this example. The New Day is a black tag team. Mm-hmm. Possibly the greatest black tag team of all time. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest factions of WWE. So in order for me to talk about the New Day in this situation, I have to bring the culture into this. Mm-hmm. The best version of this from a coaching perspective that I can use as an analogy for the New Day is the Five Heartbeats.
Mm.
For those in the culture who have not seen the Five Heartbeats, you're whack.
Right.
You should have seen the Five Heartbeats on a couple of occasions. If you have not seen the Five Heartbeats and you're black, your family did not raise you right.
Man, at all.
So if you have not seen the Five Heartbeats, you will not get this analogy because you have not seen the movie. But get your life together and go watch a classic directed by Robert Townsend and starring a number of people, including Leon. So I'm going to start with Leon, right? Leon is JT. Duck is Robert Townsend. Duck was a lame. JT was cool. Duck used to get all the hoes. No, he didn't. JT used to get all the hoes. Duck used to get, I guess, who didn't want or he couldn't get. Duck liked the next door neighbor. JT fucked the next door neighbor, right? But yeah, we'll get into all of that in a second. Or when you watch the movie, right? So there's a part of the movie where they're performing and Duck is tired of JT using his dance moves, using his words to bag women. Mm-hmm. And JT basically sunned his little brother. And they got into a fight while they performed. They tore down their clothes and stuff and all of that. So then the next night, they got into it. And then they got to arguing. And then, what's my man name? Eddie Kang or Eddie King Jr.? He said, hey, man, we supposed to be brothers. We're not going to do this right. We're not going to do it at all. And the crowd's like, oh, it's like breakdown. This is what I think we're getting with the New Day.
Okay.
Until somebody hits somebody in the head with a chair, I think these are bickering brothers and the big homie going to come back and settle things. But I also do believe, too, that the big homie is going to take the advice of Xavier Woods. We've been nice for too goddamn long, fam. Mm-hmm. Look at what being nice has gotten us. Did it get you a world championship? Yes, it did. Did it give you a world championship? Yes, it did. What did it get me? Just the king of the goddamn ring. All of y'all have gotten something, but I have not gotten my just due, and I need that. So they're going to say to him, you know what? You're right, and we're going to do whatever we can to support you in that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's a full-on heel turn, but you're going to see a new day led by Xavier Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to get that or another great moment in Black history.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks ain't Black. Mm-hmm. But in my household, it was a great moment in Black history.
Mm-hmm.
You could put Sounds of Blackness behind this, and it'll still ring true. Once upon a time, that was a tag team that went to a barbershop where a lot of Black people go to discuss things. And they went to that barbershop, and one of the guys was like, look, I'm frustrated, you frustrated, but we're a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to turn around. And when I turn back around, we're either going to be a team again and we go our separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
So this man turned around, and the crowd was like, oh, please don't break up. Please don't do it. So the guy turned around, and the other guy was like, you know what? You're right. I love you, bro. And they grabbed each other's hands, and they put it in the sky, and their music played.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one guy super kicked the other guy and threw him into a window. None of these guys that was on the stage are Black.
No.
But because the barbershop is a great place in Black history, I'm going to take this as a Black history moment. A moment where Shawn Michaels was born. You see the New Day figure it out and be led by Xavier Woods, or we're going to see the New Day break up in a Rockers style breakup where it has to be that in order for people to hate Xavier Woods. You can't hate Xavier Woods by them just saying, you know what, we're going to go our separate ways. Because Xavier Woods is really looking heelish. He's really looking like, man, bro, what the fuck? Yeah. In order for you to make that happen, they got to go full on heel as a team, or Xavier Woods got super kick Kofi Kingston and Kofi Kingston and throw him into a window.
I'm not mad. I feel you. I obviously I want the former, because look, I'm here for. Now it ain't gonna be over Bron Breakker, but if for some reason he were to drop that title to Sami Zayn or just anybody else, I'm all for Xavier Woods getting hand delivered the title, the Intercontinental Championship, by Kofi and Big E, and they give him a nice little 6 months reign as the champ, just to be like, boom, I'm a long time. I'm one of the longest reigning tag team champions ever. I'm a 12 or 13 time tag team champion. I've been the Intercontinental champion. I've been the King of the Ring. I mean, like, look, you know, like at least I got my singles championship moment, because I don't think he's had a singles title in the WWE at all. Not even the 205 live joint, because I think he like 215 pounds or something like that.
Yeah. So we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very interesting what happens with this team. But I think you get one way or the other. You get all of them together because they said they don't want to break up. Or you get Xavier Woods really going out. But if you do it, the only thing that I say about if they go the route of making Xavier Woods a solo, I'm going to say this, and I think that this is very important, not just to the culture, but just to the person in general. You can't break up a long-standing member of a tag team that is as accomplished as the New Day and make the breakout person a mid-card.
Right.
If you do that, you've done a disservice to the whole legacy of this tag team and what they did. If you're going to do it, somebody has to get put over. Xavier Woods' time is now. Yeah. He has to be put in big spots. Yeah. You have to look at Xavier Woods and go, okay, he's a major player on Raw.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, there's no reason to break up the New Day, in my opinion. For him to be fighting for a chance at the Intercontinental Championship,
right?
Fuck out of here.
Yeah. No, now I'm 1,000,000,000% with you on that. And that's why, and unfortunately, because of certain tag teams in the past, that's why I don't want them to break up. Because shit, I mean, look, hey, we just brought up Demolition. That's what happened to Smash. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what happened to the Warlord and the Barbarian. You know, that's what happened to Jim the Anvil Neidhart. That's what happened to Marty Jannetty. Like, I mean, even though they weren't like great, but you know. But I mean, for the most part, when they break up tag teams, like even sometimes the guy they try to push don't make it. I'm trying to think of man, who am I thinking? Oh, I mean, shoot, look, not for nothing. Shoot, Strike Force.
Yeah.
Tito Santana and Rick Martel. I mean, yeah, and the thing is, they tried to push both of them, but they both ended up in the mid-card. So, and I don't want that for Xavier Woods. I just don't.
Make it make sense. Make it work. All right, man. So, look, this has been a great episode.
Yeah. Oh, Guaranteed Tees.
Yeah. So, that's what we're about to get into. Guaranteed Tees. It's been a great episode. But this is the first time in a while that we did not throw a Guaranteed Tee during the show.
Right.
So, what you got?
My Guaranteed Tee is that Tiffany Stratton cashes in on Liv Morgan at Bad Blood, and the new feud is now Tiffany versus Rhea. Because, not for nothing, it seems like the only two women that Raw cares about are Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. I think that's why they lost that match on SmackDown, because Nia and Tiffany obviously need to break up by now. But, and, you know, the stipulation was, hey, don't cash in on Bayley. it was don't cash in on Bayley. Don't cash in on SmackDown. Who's the woman champion on SmackDown? She's going to be like, hey, look, this is Raw. We're on Raw now. So I can do this. And I think that is going to set up at least now for at least a four-woman race for the title on Raw now. So I got Tiffany cashing in on Liv, screwing both Nia and Rhea Ripley out of the women's title.
Oh, man. So my guarantee is going to be, I'll make this easy for me. I'm just going to go into bad blood. My guarantee is that the Kevin Owens heel turn does not happen at Bad Blood. Mm. I think it does not make sense for it to happen at Bad Blood because I also don't think it makes sense for Cody Rhodes to defend the title at Survivor Series since you're now putting him into the middle of this Bloodline feud. I think you separated after that. But, yeah, my guarantee is that that does not happen at Bad Blood. It does not happen on any time on SmackDown. This happens at Survivor Series War Games. Mm. All right, so before we get out of here, man, salute to Bronson Reed for throwing niggas at people.
Yeah. Hey, wild turn of events. He threw a whole black person at Bronson.
A whole black person at Braun Strowman. Boy, I saw that and I was like, oh, wow. We're wild out here, fam. We threw a whole ass black person.
Yeah,
like, at Braun Strowman.
Like, yo, like, that's crazy. You know, I don't know how long they're going to keep this Bronson Reed, Braun Strowman thing going, but you know what? For the moment, I'm entertained. And I don't know, yo. Right, Ross. I'm out. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in.
Belated birthday, Ross.
Yes, happy birthday, man. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. I'm just gonna get out of here.
Ooh, boy.
We appreciate y'all contributing to the FBC community and the ways that you do. Because where else can you get comments like that from people that support the show? On any show, we the best show in the world, and it's because of all of y'all that contribute to our conversations week in and week out. And for that, we sincerely thank you. Man, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast. It's the Pick and the VP DOC. We are out. And it's Fuck Johnny Wrestling Till the Casket Drops.
And Bloodline agrees with that too.
Thank God.